Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Murder 123. Tonight, an analysis of the Jeffrey Epstein case. This is Dr. John Stamey. So pleased to be with everybody tonight. We got a great show. We got great hosts, a great guest, and just a lot of fun things. I do want to make an early on announcement. We are we're going to be letting this out tomorrow, but on January the 4th, 2020, we will be hosting Pop Culture Stars and Murder 123. We'll be hosting the Jacksonville, North Carolina PopCon in Sneed's Ferry, and it's going to be a blast. We're going to have Bigfoot talks. We're going to have a live Murder 123 podcast, a lot of great things. And at the Somerville Comic-Con, which will be Pearl Harbor Day, December the 7th, we will have a live Murder 123 podcast, and that the subject of that podcast will be the ferocious Lavinia Fisher, who was the first serial killer in the United States. She and her husband, they had an inn outside of Charleston at a little area called 10 Mile. And when people would come and stay, they would give them arsenic. Then they would slam them over the head with an iron frying pan, steal everything, and then torture them if they were still alive. What a pleasant bunch. But that will be
the
live.
Gift that keeps on giving.
The gift that keeps on giving, Charleston. That's right. So it's just going to be a blast. So Murder 123 will be live in Charleston area at the Somerville Comic-Con on December the 7th. And we will be live at the Jacksonville PopCon on January the 4th in Sneed's Ferry. So more about that. We'll be posting that on the website and of course, on Facebook. So we hope everybody will join us. First of all, I would like to introduce my esteemed co-hosts. Devin Tate is on special assignment tonight, but will be back next week. And we thank him for last week's little ditty about those two murderers that he actually knew.
It was really good.
And we appreciate in Paradise, Kansas. First of all, I'd like to bring on the one and only, my very treasured friend, Robin Haynes-McCray. Robin, how are you doing tonight?
I am great, John, and thrilled to be here as always. We've got an absolutely phenomenal topic tonight. I can't wait.
Absolutely. It's going to be a lot of fun. And you're playing with your African wildcat as we're
Yes, he's part of
talking.
The show tonight.
That's good. So if he has anything to say, any kind of growls or meows, just hand the phone to him, okay?
I will. Between him and the Bigfoots that are making all the howling out front, it ought to be a loud night.
Well, that's great. Glad to have you on board tonight. And, of course, our super secret, cool paranormal investigator, Tony Filosi from Harlan, Kentucky.
Yes.
How are you doing tonight, Tony?
I'm doing fine, John. How are you and Robin doing tonight?
Good.
Great.
Hey, Tony. So glad you're with us.
Oh, it's good to be here. Like you said, this
Absolutely.
Is going to be a great show.
Yeah, and you're our co-host, and then tonight, but at 10:30, you go from a co-host to a feature spot as we talk about the cell block. And we've got some special EVPs ready to go and queued up for everyone, so it'll be a lot of fun. So you're not only a host, but you're a contributor, kind of like Fox News and all that. So anyway, glad to have you here. And it was wonderful speaking to you a little bit earlier this evening. And
Absolutely.
So we've got out the two murder
sorry,
123.
Sir.
Yes, sir. Okay,
I've
good.
I've got a special announcement just for murder premiering here on Murder 123. You know, I'm working on a book about Manzo Shepherd. I've been on talked about the murder he committed before, but during my research, I have uncovered some more details that may actually tie Manzo or Manzo's family to another murder that was committed in the same building 6 months previous.
Oh, wow, that sounds great.
Are you serious? Listen, when you get that thing done, we probably should go up to Harlan, Kentucky, and do a live Murder 123 podcast. What do you think?
Well, that would be great.
And if you could get us into into the courthouse, I'll see who all we can get.
I am so excited about that.
We have full access. I've already clicked that. We have full access. And just as a teaser, let's just say that the man that was murdered may have killed Sherman Klaus's father about 4 years previously during a union. He was organizing the miners, and he may have killed him to stop him from organizing the men in the mine. Possibly.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Well, that'll be interesting, and we'll definitely, Robin, you're up to doing a live 1-2-3 up there in Harlem when Tony gets that.
Oh, you
written,
got
correct?
That right. Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
I cannot wait.
We might even see if we can find some money and fly Devin out from Hollywood and see if he'd come
Wouldn't
out
that
there.
Be great?
I mean, it really
have
would.
Have the whole Murder 1-2-3 group there.
That's exactly right. We'll do our best, Tony. Just keep me informed and let me know. So anyway, glad you're with us. Glad Robin is with us. I want to introduce now our guest. He is just such a great friend. And after I introduce him, I'm going to tell everyone how I met him. It's the best story. Dr. Trey Donaway is from Camden, South Carolina. He is a surgeon. He is a pathologist. And just a super interesting guy, and he doesn't mind me telling him my crazy stories. How are you doing tonight, Trey?
I'm doing great, Dr. John. How are you?
I'm doing well. So glad to have you on here. I gotta tell this quick story. It's my favorite story. We were doing caricatures at an event in Camden, and they said they've got good barbecue down there at the. At historic Camden. So I said, okay, I'm going to go get some. And I walked down there and I saw these two guys dressed up in Revolutionary War outfits. And being the clown that I am, but knowing who all I do, I walked up. And so they've got this cannon. They've got these cannonballs. It was great. And I looked at this fella and I said, there was a sign that said, "We rent the cannon." I said, "I'd like to rent your cannon." And he looked at me and he said, "What?" And then I looked at this other guy that happened to be you. I just said, "I'd like to rent your cannon." You see, I know a guy that does the Beaufort Pirate Invasion, and he said he would bring pirates down to Camden for me if I could find a cannon to shoot. And Trey,
only you would want a cannon.
Yeah, that's right. And Trey was Johnny on the spot. We started talking, and Trey, I don't think we've stopped since, have we?
No, we haven't. We haven't, John. But I got to correct you a little bit. I am a
Please.
Surgeon. I'm not really a pathologist. Well, let me explain. When I was in medical school, I took a course at the medical examiner's office. So I did go for a month-long course at the medical examiner's office. But when I became a practicing surgeon in Camden, South Carolina, sometimes our pathologists would get busy, and I was kind of like the backup guy. So if somebody got shot in the head, I would go and, you know, retrieve the bullet and mark it and then testify in court that, yes, this is the bullet that came out of the guy's head. So I'm kind of a standby pathologist. But I've still dealt enough with patients who don't really need a full-bred pathologist. You know what they say about pathologists.
What do they say, Trey?
Let me tell you what they say about pathologists. You know, you have internists who know everything and don't do anything. You have surgeons
yeah.
who know nothing and do everything. And then you have pathologists that know everything and do everything, but it's too late for the patient.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't believe you said that. That's great. That is absolutely
oh, yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
Now we know. Now we know.
Now
so anyway.
Now you know.
That's right. So, and now we'll all know about Jeffrey Epstein, which is truly one of the most perplexing deaths in this century and probably, well, I'd say at least in this century, it's one of the most perplexing deaths. It's either a murder or a suicide. Nobody really knows, but we'll see what we can find out.
You know what? This is a classic example, and here I am. I'm going to bust everybody's bubble. Classic example of the press and the government and the games they play. The reason nobody knows everything is because we're not allowed to know anything, and they think that whatever they give us and whatever they tell us is supposed to shut us up so that we don't dig any deeper.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Well, I tell you what, Robin, you kind of hit the nail on the head, but with revelations that have come out in the last 3 or 4 days, it's like, you know, what in the heck is going on? So I will.
The truth always comes out.
I will narrate a little bit and tell everybody. A lot of folks know who Jeffrey Epstein is, but for those that don't know, here's kind of the cliff notes. Now, this comes from an article from Town and Country magazine, I thought they did a pretty good job. So I wanted someone good to kind of quote on this. You know, so Jeffrey began as a math teacher at the expensive Dalton School in New York in the 1970s.
Adds up.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to really add, and I mean,
okay.
plus.
Yeah, it adds up. Yeah,
he went to work at Bear Stearns. Maybe he wasn't the one that caused him to go bankrupt or belly up, but anyway, he went to work at Bear Stearns, the investment banking firm, and then he established his own firm, J. Epstein and Company, in 1982, and what he did was he went after clients who were worth over $1 billion. I mean, he was a pretty good marketer because he got some of them. And then now
he had some big, high-profile people.
Now he really had. And he was in like 82, 92, 2002. So in 26 years, he had a lot of high-profile clients, and he did a lot of things. He apparently liked young girls, and he had a lot of interaction with them. Because in 2008, he pleaded guilty to a felony charge of solicitation of prostitution involving a minor, and that was in Miami. Now, we found a lot of really good reporting from the Miami Herald, and what happened is that he was sentenced to 18 months in prison, and he served 13 whole months. He got this uber lenient plea deal from Trump's Secretary of Labor, Alex Acosta. Now, he ended up resigning because of that. But, you know, I mean, this was before he was Secretary of Labor. And who knows what kind of pressure Acosta was under or if he knew Epstein or whatever. You know, who knows? But anyway, Epstein then registered when he got out as a sex offender. And then in 2019, it was a fateful July the 6th, he was arrested in the Teterboro Airport in New Jersey and charged with, over the course of many years, Jeffrey Epstein, the defendant, sexually exploited and abused dozens of minor girls at his homes in Manhattan, New York, and Palm Beach, Florida, among other locations. Oh, God. And what headlines did that make? We all remember that weekend, all you could see was Jeffrey Epstein getting arrested. Now, the FBI gave the following statement after all this is over. Epstein's put into jail. Many, many things happen. There's a lot of threats. There's a lot of rumor, allegations about the Clintons, the whole party. So Epstein dies in jail. So here's what the FBI says. On Saturday, August the 10th, 2019, at approximately 6:30 a.m., get that, 6:30 a.m. Inmate Jeffrey Edward Epstein was found unresponsive in his cell in the special housing unit from an apparent suicide at the Metropolitan Correctional Center in New York. Life-saving measures were initiated immediately by the responding staff. The staff requested emergency medical services and life-saving efforts to be continued. Mr. Epstein was transported by EMS to a local hospital for treatment of life-threatening injuries and subsequently was pronounced dead by the hospital staff. The FBI is investigating the event. Now, all I got to say, I got a question for you guys. Why is, you got a guy from New York, living in New York, in a New York prison. Why is the FBI investigating? I thought the Federal Bureau of Investigation only investigated interstate crimes. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I was taught wrong in civics in the ninth grade. Why is the FBI investigating this?
Because this whole thing is a farce, what they put out there.
Maybe it's interstate. They thought it was interstate sex trafficking or something. Maybe they were.
Well, the murder
issue warrant.
Maybe they were already tracking them for something. But you're right. I don't know why the FBI would be involved. It was just in New York and a New York incident.
It would be the New York State Attorney General's office who would empower the local or the county. That they would empower the county, I believe.
But with him the high profile clients that he had, I mean, he had Trump, he had the Clintons, he had Prince Andrew. I mean, he had major high profile clients from all over the world. It wasn't
let's say friends. But the fact is, was a murder in New York, and a New Yorker was killed. So, I mean, first of all, it should have been a county. I mean, that's the way it always is, from what I know. So, I mean, that's like the first thing. Oh my God! And then, so now.
But if you've got friends in high places, it changes things.
Well, it may change things, but it really shouldn't.
Well, perhaps because it was a New York facility. They wanted an outside authority to investigate. That might have been a plausible reason why you get the FBI involved.
Well,
they kicked it over to the FBI. I don't know.
But then again, they haven't found anything that they've reported yet. Now, for those of you who do not know how powerful Jeffrey Epstein was, he had some friends, and I mean, he had some friends in high and low places. His friends included from his notebook. Or actually, his little black book. It was really more a notebook. His friends included Bill and Hillary Clinton, Prince Andrew, Leslie Wexler, the billionaire, former New Mexico Governor Bruce King, former New Mexico Governor and Democratic presidential hopeful Bill Richardson, Peter Soros, the nephew of George Soros, former Miss Sweden and socialite Dr. Ava Anderson Jr., attorney Alan Dershowitz. I mean, we see Alan Dershowitz all over Fox News right now. President Donald Trump was a friend of his. Alec Baldwin. Ralph Fiennes, the actor. Academy Award winning. Ted Kennedy. Courtney Love. And the list goes on and on and on. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If I was some dude, I wouldn't mind having those people as friends, would you?
No, they're part of the select group of over $1 billion clients. So that would be a good list of friends to have.
Right.
Heck yeah.
You know, this little, and just like you were just talking about, this little black book, and I have to wonder if maybe what was in that black book because of what could come out on all of these people, and I'm not saying any of them are guilty, I'm not saying any of them are innocent. I don't know. I'm just saying, because of the information in that book, it changed everything. And I don't think we can even look at this and not say that that book didn't have something to do with the outcome.
It absolutely did. It had to have. Is this his first or this is his second or third time that he's been questioned about sex trafficking, isn't it?
Yeah, it was the second.
Yeah.
I mean, we would assume the questioning also happened in Miami.
But
who knows? I mean, what a mess.
Well, my point is that, you know, the first time his billionaire friends helped him out of it, and the second time he became a liability because of the black book.
Right. I mean, there were many reasons for somebody to come in and murder him.
Well, it was interesting. Gawker, which is a website, it's kind of like the Weekly World News of websites now, published right on the internet his little black book, but so much was redacted, it was nothing but first names. And it really didn't matter. I mean, they redacted too much. They could have gotten rid of the phone numbers. They could have gotten rid of the last part of the email address. But they published a little bit more. But yeah, it was everybody, anybody, and whatever. And right there at the very top of the list, which is absolutely frightening. I wanted to mention this. We got Bill and Hillary Clinton and Prince Andrew. Does anyone remember the Clinton hit list? Does anyone remember the list of over 200 people who mysteriously passed away that were associated with the Clintons? Trey, do you remember Vince Foster?
Oh yeah, yeah. He was he was one of the what was it? Arcicide? Wasn't that the term that was used? Arcicide?
Yeah.
From Arkansas suicide. Yeah. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Well, that's where blood runs uphill. And
well,
no one,
you know, it's just amazing coincidences. And every detective novel I've ever read doesn't believe in coincidence. So there you have
and
it.
And I don't either.
I know you don't, neither do I, Robin.
Out there. Nope.
And
if
Tony,
it looks like
not,
a duck and walks like a duck, it's a duck.
Absolutely.
It really is. And the one thing, now, if I'm wrong, I'm going to offer this up. Has there ever been a movie or a book about Vince Foster? I don't think there
is. No, there's not going to be. No.
I mean,
that would be counter to the media, so they wouldn't want that publicized.
And blood does run uphill. We do know that.
But the media doesn't. Anything that I've seen on it, media keeps things at a certain level. They dumb it down, and they don't want you to look deeper at it. I mean, they really don't. I mean, like, there should be, whether they're friends or whether they're business associates or whatever you want to call them, innocent, guilty, whatever, you know, there's a connection there. And because of how bad, you know, things got with him, you would have thought more information would have been found out about what kind of relationships he has. And I guarantee you the government probably did find out, but the people are never going to know. And they word it when they put this stuff out in the public where it's just like just a flat across-the-board description of this is what happened, end of story. And they don't anticipate people are going to dig. I mean, let's face it, inquiring minds want to know.
Exactly. You know, with ABC's reaction, I mean, that's an ongoing process. And it certainly appears that they tried to bury that story, and that's been corroborated by a couple of different people. So, you know, if there's a hot story, I thought the idea was to be the first to put it in the news cycle so you garnered the recognition that you were the investigative reporter and this is just another amazing thing that you've turned up through your investigative reporting. Well, in this one, it was just sidelined.
They dumbed it down. They tried to wash it away and give the minimal information they had to.
Right.
So you have to wonder what connection does Epstein have with that station?
And not to mention the ratings they would get. I mean, that the ratings would be phenomenal.
Yeah. So there had to have been a lot of – and this is only a suspicion. I'm not saying it is, but – there had to have been a lot of information in there that possibly could implicate that station because I can think of no other reason that they would turn down the ratings and the money that they could have hauled in from the story, whether it be
then,
one of the heads there or whatever.
And let's look at the fact, you know, the people, the name inside the little black book, the name, I mean, they're naming off some of the most important people in the world today. And then you go into the night, early morning hours, where he was he either committed suicide or he was murdered. The statistical probability of two guards going to sleep at the same time and not making their rounds for 3 hours in a federal, you know,
institution
is like unbelievable. And then you have a camera outage. Let's see, the guards go to sleep, the damn cameras went down. Yeah, I mean, my goodness, it just was a bad night to be Epstein. Huh?
Yeah, and
Robin's
wildcat ate the homework. I mean, it's all very
exactly.
Yeah.
Nobody got the memo. I'm always telling everybody, I'll give you a memo. Nobody got the memo that said, stay awake, show up for work, you know, and for God's sakes, turn the cameras on. I mean, I forgot send the memo out that night. I take full responsibility.
Can you imagine you're holding this prisoner who has already hit the papers in a big way, and you just say, we're just going to let everything slide this evening? And who's been fired? Who's been fired after this? Well, the guy
exactly.
in charge of the prison system was fired. He was demoted and given his old job, and his old boss was asked to come back in. But have the guards been fired? Has anybody been fired for screwing
Trey,
this
I'm
up?
Gonna
it's
answer,
like,
Trey,
well,
I want to answer your question. I want to answer Trey's question. Apparently, there has been a plea deal that has been struck with one of the guards. And plea deal, you know what plea deal means?
If it's as tough as the one Epstein got, I think he's safe.
Trey, plea deal means...
You know, did they give the guy a T-shirt with a target on it and, you know, tattoo a little target on his forehead? Why would they even leak that information? I mean, that just says, okay, your secret's about to come out. We're going to offer a plea deal. Why would you even keep that? Why would you even let a leak like that occur? I just don't get it.
Okay, two things. First of all, if he got as easy of a plea deal as Epstein did, I think the guy's going to be good. Second.
Oh, yeah, he'll be fine.
The man was in jail for being a sexual predator. Okay, the life expectancy of someone like that in jail is zero. So why are not other precautions being taken care of to keep this man alive? It's not nobody gave them an idea that.
And it's,
I mean, really, he's at a high risk to be off anyway.
Video cameras are in the Walmart parking lot. They work just fine. Get the guy at Walmart to make sure the prison's video work is being done properly.
Hey, their guards are walking around in little cars.
Everything's on video. I mean, these guys could put a camo game camera up in the room, which has infrared sensing, and you can see in the dark. They could have just jammed one of those game cameras from a hunter up in the prison as a backup.
Yeah, go to Walmart
for $24
and grab one.
That's right. It's just beyond belief that how could we have won two world wars if we can't figure out how to keep an eye on a guy who's already attempted suicide? I mean, he was attempted suicide 2 weeks before.
Trey,
I love you. You're
awesome.
As a physician, you don't have some guy who you think might have attempted suicide and say, okay, well, now you're okay, right? Oh, yeah, I'm fine now. Okay, well, we don't need to keep an eye on you anymore. What? I mean, no, that's not what you do.
Well,
but the reason.
Yeah, but the reasons that they're giving, the guards fell asleep, the camera wasn't working. As far as I'm concerned, that goes with the old excuse of the dog ate my homework. Or in my case,
right.
when my kids went to school, it was the mini pig. In my case, when my kids went to school, it was the mini pig ate the homework because we had mini pigs. And they would always eat the homework. And my kids are like, the teachers will never believe me, Mom. And so I took pictures of the pigs with the homework hanging out of their mouth. But I'm just thinking... This is a kind of crap, and they want the American people to believe it.
And let's not forget that it's his cellmate. Now, why would you move his cellmate all of a sudden, just a few days before this guy dies? Why would you move his – you don't want – they're moving the witnesses out of the way, disabling the cameras, the guards go to sleep. Mr. Sandman comes and visits them both at the same time.
We don't want anybody waking the other one up. I mean, let's just be realistic. Just ridiculous. But, I mean, they don't talk about any – and I've not seen – and I'm sure it's out there. I'm sure it's out there. I haven't seen it. But, you know, I want to know an in-depth thing on the relationship he had with each one of these people. Like, they may have been friends. Well, I have lots of friends, too, but I have different friends and we have different interests together. So what was it that they were friends about? And the thing with Prince Andrew is getting worse. Sarah Ferguson was online yesterday standing up for this guy saying, you know, I know him. He wouldn't do anything wrong. Okay, well, apparently he did because you divorced him. But I'm just saying.
If he was wonderful,
why? I mean, they're not married anymore. So if he was that wonderful, why the hell did she divorce his butt? you know, and take off with these other tycoons that were licking her toes half the time. So, I mean,
well,
you know,
she probably had to sign a non-disclosure agreement or something, you know, so they couldn't say anything bad about them.
It just expired. Because as soon as those expire, look out, world, it gets bad. But, I mean, really, it just it makes no sense to me. And she went online, and she's telling everybody about how, you know, he's not what everybody thinks. And, yes, they were friends, but, you know, the last time he saw them was to break off the friendship. They hung out for 4 days at the same house. I'm sorry.
Well, maybe
if I don't want to be
maybe
your friend.
Maybe it was a tearful goodbye. Maybe it was just a tearful
apparently,
goodbye.
Like, if I don't want to be your friend, I don't even call you. I just send you a text and say, bite me, leave me alone.
Yeah, you go over to their house for you fly across the Atlantic Ocean, and you hang out with them for a couple of days just so there's no hard feelings, I guess.
Or
I don't
know.
But, you know, I don't have any billion-dollar friends. I don't. Maybe they operate differently than me and
well, you know,
my friends.
Country,
you know.
That, in some countries, that means they're going to get married. So, you know, the marriage is a
friend. You guys are ridiculous. This is great.
Well, you know, what I find incredibly entertaining is just finding you get somebody who is moneyed and a position of power, and he actually goes on TV and just makes everything completely worse, despite the advice of people that are saying, Andrew, this is a bad idea. This is really a bad idea. Oh, no, I'll just go chat it up. Yeah,
yeah. I
knew
her,
well.
And I knew
him.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know why he did that? He did that because nobody gave him a memo.
Or not?
Well, he did.
He needed a memo.
Nobody sent him a memo telling him to be quiet. If he would have got one of my memos, he would have known.
Yeah, but he I'm sure he really didn't have anything to do with it because he couldn't sweat. Right? Because he had too much adrenaline at one point. Listen, I've given lots of people adrenaline. I mean, really, really pharmacologic doses of adrenaline. Guess how many people have come back saying, hey, you saved my life, but, you know, damn, I can't sweat anymore. Can you do anything about that? No, I've never had that happen to any of my patients.
But now, if you paid attention in the news, there is now a woman after, you know, Sarah Ferguson went up there and protected her man and said, oh, he didn't do it. So the rest of the world can breathe a big sigh of relief. He's innocent because Sarah said he was innocent. But then if you look, there is now a woman that came forward and said, are you kidding me? Because he did this to me with the help of Epstein. And I can't remember, it was 4 or 5 times or something like that. And Andrew's standing there going, oh, I'm sorry. Have I met you before?
You probably don't remember me because you were all concerned about not sweating. Not sweating.
Exactly.
Don't hug people. And here are the photographs of him hugging all sorts of people. And the sweating thing is just, I mean, from a you
but
know.
But, you know, really, the amount of money he will save on deodorant is just outstanding. He could buy another.
I was just thinking, if he could figure out how to package that, so you could just get one dose and you don't sweat for years.
That's so exciting.
That's the thing. I just received the exercise on a treadmill and I don't have a sweat problem.
Yeah, Tony.
It just depends on how you look at it.
You're going to say something funny, and I can tell it, Tony. What are you getting ready to say?
But save you the environment.
Well,
I was laughing.
Oh,
I didn't hear that.
What did you say, Tony? Louder.
I said that Prince Andrew was saving the environment one kid at a time by saving all the deodorant.
I mean, that's right.
Yeah, saving the environment, Prince Andrew, that's great.
Yeah.
So we should hook him up with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and that would be perfect. But anyway, all right. Well, now, we're having a blast, and so it is the bottom of the hour. It is time for the Cell Block with Tony Pelosi, and then we'll come back to more insanity.
Go
and here's what I was going to suggest. I think this crowd would be great. There is a newspaper up in Greensboro, North Carolina, called the Rhino Times, and they did the Clinton watch. Now, I called them up about all the people that died, and it was really funny. I called them up about a year ago, and I said, do you still have copies of those issues? Oh, no, we don't. I said, well, do you microfilm everything? Well, yeah. I said, all right, can I talk to your publisher? No. I can guess a list of the Clinton watch that I think, you know, reached up to about 300 and something, and then they stopped publishing it at the Rhino Times. So let me see if I can do it. And if I can get the Clinton watch list from the Rhino Times, I'm going to invite this entire group right back. And
oh,
I think
will
it will
so
be spectacular, especially with Vince Foster as our poster child. But anyway,
well, and Trey, you got to be with us because you're hysterical.
Oh, Trey's going to be part of this one. If he's available, I want Trey to be part of this one. This will be spectacular. So anyway, I want to turn it over now for his segment, Tony Filosi and the Cell Block. And by the way, I've got to say that we're so pleased that Murder 123 is now sponsored by the Crypto Crew, which is something that Tony is part of. So Tony, tell us a little bit about the Crypto Crew, and then I'll be glad to play your videos and your sound clips and everything. Take it away, Tony.
Great. Great. What the Crypto Crew does, the Crypto Crew is Thomas Markham and myself. Thomas Markham is a very talented researcher, filmmaker that lives in the same general vicinity as I do. We explore anything unexplained, whether it's cryptid, paranormal, UFO, murder, you know, true crime, and we have a series on Prime, so go on Amazon Prime now. We have several films there, and I promise you that you will be very interested. You will not be disappointed.
Now, Tony, let me ask you a question. Isn't Doreen Fisher part of that Crypto Crew?
Yes, Doreen is part of the Crypto Crew.
I got to tell you, and I do like Tom, don't get me wrong. I love Doreen. Doreen's done a couple of articles on me, and she is just phenomenal. And what you tell her, that's what she writes. I mean, literally, you don't get misquoted. Everything you want is there, and it's 100% honest, 100% legit. I just have a heck of a lot of respect for that whole group.
I love Doreen. She's totally talented.
She is the best.
Goodness. I wish she lives, I think, in Illinois. Tom and I talk all the time about we wish Doreen was, you know, live a lot closer because we would love to have her.
I just think the world of her.
Yeah, we'd love to have her in on some investigations because she's very, very good.
Yes, she is.
The website, if you want to check us out on the web, it's cryptocrew.com, and check us out on YouTube at the Crypto Watch.
Sounds good.
Well, Tony, first of all, thanks for that plug, because I tell you what, Crypto Crew has been great. They're responsible for a lot of people hearing Murder 123, and we're so glad to have Crypto Crew as a sponsor. And Tony, we're so glad to have you. Now, you're going to talk about, for a couple of minutes here, some very serious things about Manzo Shepherd, because didn't you do, and I'm going to start it with a question and turn it over to you. Didn't you do some investigations this past Halloween night in the courthouse in Harlan, Kentucky, about Manzo Shepherd? And by the way, go ahead and tell everyone who Manzo Shepherd is so that we all have a good firm footing on why is this guy infamous.
Well, Manzo Shepherd, he two of his cohorts committed a murder on in a place called Black Mountain, which is the highest state of Kentucky. The murder was so brutal at a time in Harlan County history, while the mine wars were going on, where violence was commonplace, that it captured not only Harlan County's attention, but it garnered national attention. Manzo, ultimate pride, they caught him, and within a month, they had enough to him and his accomplices. So the first trial ended in a mistrial. The second trial, as they were giving closing arguments, Manzo, the lady, the sister of the gentleman that she killed, his name was Joe Christian, she was in the courtroom. She started becoming very emotional. She thought he was going to get off. That was the first trial. It ended in a mistrial. There was a clergy that did not believe in the death penalty, so that hung the jury. And as soon as he came out of the jury box, they arrested him for obstruction of justice and took him to jail. So that was Harlan County in the 40s. So as the second trial was coming to an end, she becomes very emotional, very distraught. He turns around, hears her crying, standing close to him in the audience. And he turns around, looks at her, and he laughs. So her son, which is the nephew of the murder victim, takes about two steps and shoots him in the back of the skull with a .32 revolver that traverses through the skull and makes a knot in the forehead. And so that's where that Manzo Shepherd gained empathy, is where he was one of the – there have been several people murdered in the Harlan County Courthouse, but Manzo was probably the most high profile because he was killed in front of 300 people.
Wow.
So, and as we progressed, we did a Facebook Live show on Halloween, and some of the questions that we asked was I had given a tour to some of the laid-off miners. The mine's name was Black Jewel, and I asked the question, do you remember the Black Jewel ladies? And Manzo answers with the affirmative, which we'll listen to the EVP in a few minutes. And some of the other
No, I was going to say, let's go ahead. Let me go ahead and play the Black Jewel EVP. I'll play it twice, Tony, and then you re-explain it, okay?
Absolutely.
You ready? It's 16 seconds long, so be prepared for about 34 seconds of this. We'll play it twice, and we'll go from there. Bang.
And then the Black Jewel ladies.
Hello, Black Jewel ladies.
Hello.
Good morning.
Ask once enough, Manzo remembers them.
Yeah. Manzo, do you remember the ladies, the Black Jewel ladies?
And once more.
And then the Black Jewel ladies.
Hello, Black Jewel ladies.
Ask once enough, Manzo remembers them.
Yeah. Manzo, do you remember the ladies, the Black Jewel ladies?
So now, Tony, I know it's kind of hard to determine, but what have you guys determined that was being said from beyond by Manzo?
It was Black Jewel for sure. Anytime that you upload an audio file, you lose a little bit of clarity with it. But the files that I have, it's really, really clear that he says Black Jewel. Manzo will absolutely communicate with you. He rebels in his infamy. He gets very cocky. He absolutely acknowledged the Black Jewel ladies and a couple of these where he names his first. One was called in 2016, and the other was called that night in 2019.
Well, now, who are the Black Jewel ladies? Who were they?
They are the wives of South Mine that I had given a tour to, the historical tour of the courthouse and jail, and given back story on Manzo Shepherd, showed where he'd been murdered at. I couldn't show him exactly what cell that he was in, but I showed him the jail that he was kept in and the path that he walked from the jail to the courtroom on his last day on the earth.
Okay, now you've got two sound bites that we want to play. One is called Manzo Jack. Tell us about that one.
Jack is one the person that shot Manzo on the back of the head, he was the nephew of Joe Christian. His name was Jack Eaton. He was the nephew of the man that Manzo murdered. So when I asked Manzo, you know who murdered you? And then he gives us the name of the fellow that shot him.
And the name, okay, so let me go ahead and play this one. And this is a short one. This is about 3 seconds, correct?
Oh, okay, that's probably the 26.
Okay, well, let me play this here for everyone.
Do you know who murdered him?
So what was he saying?
Jack. He's saying Jack.
Okay.
That was in 2019, and the next one you'll play was caught 3 years prior, and he gives us the same answer.
Okay. This is a 6-second clip. I'll play it twice.
Do you know who murdered you?
So now,
do you know who murdered you?
So now, how did you capture these EVPs? What was the technology that you used?
Well, what I was using is the PSB series of ITT research, a ghost box from Gary Galka, Pro-Ager. And what happened, how that it works, is it cycles through radio frequency. Now, it does not use the words or anything that may catch. We live in a very rural area. There's only like 2 radio stations within 30 miles, 40, 50 miles. So, so you don't have a lot of bleed over. You don't have a lot of states that are transmitting. So what you get is a lot of white noise, and they use a frequency inside that white noise to help them to amplify their voices. In the 70s, 60s, 70s, there was a lot of research done that talked about white noise. Entities being able to use certain electronic devices to communicate.
Okay. Well, look, we really appreciate you bringing that to us in your segment called The Cell Block. And, the Manzo Shepherd case, that's something that we've talked about earlier on, actually our first episode of Murder 123, which was broadcast on ScaryCast. We got a lot on Manzo Shepherd, and we'll have a lot more for Tony. Thanks for that, and we will now reconnect you as a co-host as we get back to the Jeffrey Epstein murder case. And I'm going to ask Dr. Trey Donaway this question. Now, Trey, you know that people understand that he died. Why would
I think that was pretty well established.
It was? Okay, great. But now here comes the question. Why would someone think it was murder versus suicide?
Well, everybody looks for the medical reason behind this. Like the autopsy is going to show you something. Well, it doesn't. I think it's pretty clear that he was strangled. Now, whether that was self-inflicted or from some other perpetrator, you can't tell. They focus on the bones in the neck, the hyoid bones.
Yeah.
Well, that can those can be broken from either a suicide or from hanging or from a strangulation. Now, strangulation you usually use marks, but you can always strangulate somebody with a noose that is eventually going to be used to make it look like a hanging. So there is no further information from that autopsy. The hyoid bone is broken, and some people say, well, it doesn't happen very much in suicides compared to a strangulation from a murder, but it can. So you go out and there's a sprinkler going and there's a rainstorm and your driveway's wet. Well, one or the other, but you can't tell which one. So I think what they're doing is they're focusing on science to provide an answer that it cannot. It could be either, and you can't differentiate between the two anymore. So I think it's a smokescreen, because I think really, I think interviewing the people that were involved and getting to the people aspect of it is where the clues lie, not so much in the physical evidence.
Absolutely.
Wow.
If you look at the circumstantial evidence surrounding it, the statistical probability of, like we were saying earlier, of two guards going to sleep at the same time, the camera system failing, his cellmate being moved a couple of days before, he's basically to the most high profile people in the world. And he's become a liability. When you take all those factors in, more than likely he didn't trip and break his neck.
No, and you know, even when you read the reports, it sounds like, I mean, we don't know because they don't actually say, but they pretty much whisked him out of the prison cell and brought him to the hospital. Well, yeah. In the official statement from the FBI, they said he was found unresponsive. Well, you can either be unconscious and unresponsive or dead and unresponsive. They didn't say they didn't say which one. I mean, you know, most dead
and
people
then
now,
why do you,
I know Robin and Tony might have other experiences. I've found most dead people to be not real communicative. So they didn't say why he was unresponsive in his cell. And then they said life-saving measures were initiated. Well, of course they did. But was he dead? Then he was pronounced dead. Did he die in the hospital, or was he dead when he got to the hospital? It doesn't say.
Well, yeah, that was really conflicting on there, because that was bizarre.
And then why did they contaminate the crime scene? Why did they all?
Well, that would have. Maybe they had another inmate who has a reservation for that cell, and they were just trying to turn the room as fast
clean
as they could to make it
clean it up a little bit.
You know.
If he would have left at checkout time, it would have never happened.
Never happened.
But again,
right.
Nobody was around to let him know the time.
No, he didn't know checkout was at 11, and he probably couldn't have gotten an extension till 1, but he just didn't do that.
It's
because nobody was there. They all left, so they didn't let him know.
Yeah.
He probably thought it was later in the day.
Well,
the night manager's been taking a nap in the office.
but I guess they just let him hang around. I'm not sure.
When you just look at all the human factors, how could they screw this up so badly? I mean, it's unimaginable
because it was
that you have this. Well, yeah, but I mean, they have a high-profile prisoner, and he's already been on suicide watch, and they just say, "Oh well, we just messed up." Next, it's just beyond
because
belief.
Because it was all deliberate, and not even our jail or government can be as stupid as this. I mean, I know they can. I've seen it. But I'm just saying they should not be this stupid. But it's because it was set to happen.
If Prince Andrew has anything to do with it, it could have been that stupid, looking at his interview disaster that he had the other
Goofy
day.
Goofy was running the jail that day. Mickey Mouse was gone. So Goofy came in and subbed, and it just, you know, it went downhill from there.
I think they're just using the broken bones of the neck is just fodder. But you can't determine if it was one way or the other from the evidence that I've been.
Well, that was my question for you, is because they made a point of saying because of those particular bones that were broken, that meant it was a murder. That wouldn't happen as a suicide, but that's why I wanted to ask you. In your opinion, it could happen that way for both.
Oh, it's not my opinion. It's fact. I mean, that's the difference between news now and slanted one way. No, it's fact. They've done studies on people that have hung themselves. Evidently, there was a big group of Thailand males who hung themselves, and they did a study, and it showed about, I don't know, it showed a decent percentage had broken hyoid bones. So it really doesn't – both of them will do that. And you can't say anything more than that. So –
yeah.
You know, you can say, well, it's a higher percentage for this and that. No, it just matters, can it happen with it or not?
There's no percentage.
Yeah.
In it. It's just if
but
it can happen, it happens.
I agree with Dr. Craig. This is a facetious. It's the press putting out a facetious argument, and they're dragging a red herring out there. So they're begging the question. You know, that's all this is. Just a commonplace facetious argument to keep people busy over here, fixated on the well, these phones are broken, and they know people's going to dig a little bit, and they go, well, it could have been Hank. It could have been strangulation. And they're not looking at, well, the cameras went off, the guards went to sleep, the high-profile prisoner, the cellmate was moved. I mean, they were setting everything up for what happened to it. I mean, and then they're spending it, they're putting their spin doctor on saying, oh, let's look at the bones. Let's fixate on the bones.
Yeah, because what they ought to be fixating is on getting to the bottom of ABC and Rohrbach's comments. I mean, where's the digging on that? Dig on that for a while.
And now, my goodness,
this new deal, where the plea deal, the federal prisoner worker the night before, he was found dead in his cell. He was offered a plea deal, and again, that's where they ought to be digging.
Exactly, but I would want to know too. When Jeffrey Epstein got his plea deal, that was for the crime that he was convicted of. That was ridiculous. Okay? That was barely a slap on the wrist.
And you're talking,
and I don't
Robin,
know
you're,
why.
Robin,
if it
would have been. You're talking about the Miami deal, right?
The original arrest was 18 months.
Did Prince Andrew go and see? Was the 4 days that Prince Andrew went and visited Epstein? Was that after the Miami deal, Robin?
Oh, that
was
after,
before.
That was before. I think it was, wasn't it?
No, I think
because
it was
when he met with Andrew, that was 1990. Yeah.
No, it was 2019.
So when he met with Andrew, he wasn't convicted yet. Isn't the plea deal from his conviction?
He flew to New York to hang out with Epstein in 2019 for 4 days. I thought of another reason why it might take 4 days. And it's something that's so obvious and people just don't get it. I think jet lag. That's what it is.
My point being, hanging around with Epstein, but the first time was, okay, man, we're going to help you. The second time that he got caught in New York, New Jersey, that they busted him, he became a liability. And then shortly there, all of a sudden, you know, the lights go out, the cameras go out, people move, everything, you know, he decides he just doesn't want to be here anymore because of all the change. Something like Epstein is not going to be changed. I mean, if you're pimping for the stars, you know, you're not going to be ashamed of what you did. You're going to be afraid somebody's going to kill your body, you know, because of what you know. So,
well, that book is like solid gold. That book would have sealed his fate.
Yes.
Well, in the argument, well, you know, it looks more like a murder. It looks more like a suicide than a murder. Well, if somebody who's in the billionaire club hires people to knock somebody off, you're not going to get somebody to make it look like a murder. you're going to get somebody to make it look like a suicide. These things that differentiate between murder and suicide, I mean, they're not like trade secrets. You can get a medical textbook and you can figure out what not to do and what to do.
It was just a sloppy job,
whatever happened to him.
Well, it worked.
Yeah. I mean, it was effective.
And you can't prove one way or the other. So I guess it worked without cameras and with the wrong sleepy guards and, and everything else.
I wonder how long it's going to be before the guards die in one or both of the guards die in a car wreck or something.
Yeah.
Isn't it called narcoleptic when they can't stay awake?
Yeah,
I mean, they hired guards that had that disorder so that they couldn't stay awake.
Well, I understand they had to pull a double shift. And as anybody working knows that you cannot possibly stay awake for two shifts. It's like a physical impossibility, which is why ER doctors and physicians sometimes work, 36 hours before they can go to bed. But it's just one long shift. If they just called it a one long shift, then they could stay awake for that. But two shifts in a row? Oh, heavens. That's just beyond my ability to stay awake. Two shifts. Wow.
Also, whenever the cameras were down, the coffee maker went down too, so they couldn't make any coffee to stay awake.
Well, there you have it. That's right.
I want to know what brand of coffee maker, because I'm not getting one.
Basically,
what we're saying is the conviction should be on the coffee maker. Okay.
I wonder if there's an opportunity for Red Bull. If there's an opportunity for Red Bull here, so you could say, when you have a high-profile pedophile who's in jail, don't let your guards fall asleep. Make sure they get Red Bull. And
exactly.
You could do a whole –
They may have
yeah,
a
you could sell
attack,
a bunch of Red
God,
Bull.
They'll be awake
but they'll be awake.
They'll be awake for the heart attack. It'll be fine.
Oh, my God. That's marvelous. Red Bull, we're going to seek them as a sponsor for Murder 123 now. I'll tell you that.
I think so. Prison guards falling asleep, not a problem anymore. Not since they've instituted the Red Bull policy.
It's just
nuts.
And their health insurance premium is going to go up. But again, it's okay. It's a sacrifice we're all willing to take.
That's right. And besides, for those policies, it's the taxpayer that's paying for them. Yeah, that's right. He was in a lone cell in the special housing unit of the Federal Metropolitan Correctional Center. I wonder what the regular housing unit would be there. This is a special. It's like he was in the deluxe room.
So he had pillows instead of just the regular mattress, is what you're telling me.
maybe had a mini fridge and a little mini bar.
Deluxe accommodations. But here's
the
thing.
I would think
he's stuck in the cell. If somebody was coming to kill him, he's locked in a cell. I mean, it's like there's nowhere he can go. It's like when these hunters go out to the deer farms and they're going to bag their big buck, but they're all fenced in an area. I mean, that's your prime hunting at its best. Okay, you could get a toddler that could hit the deer at that point. So, I mean, they can't go anywhere. So it's like, okay, we'll put you in a cage. And then all these people that want to come kill you will have an easier time because they can't stay awake because there's no Red Bull. So we have to get the deer for them.
Yeah, it's got to be quick and clean.
If they're not coherent enough. I mean, there should be no reason that it should be difficult for them is what I'm saying. We want to make it as easy on the killers as possible.
Yeah, we've got one barrel and one fish and not a lot of water in the barrel.
We just want to make sure that they aren't doing anything over strenuous, and it is hard when they're tired and there wasn't any Red Bull. So let's just make sure it's as easy as possible when they go to murder somebody.
Exactly.
I think that sounds
as viable as I can't sweat anymore. Because, I had an adrenaline rush when somebody was shooting at me. Yeah, that happens all the time.
They're cutting back at the palace, and deodorant is no longer allowed, okay? Tea and crumpets are more expensive than they used to be.
what did Prince Andrew tell Epstein? You think you told Epstein the second time around? Hey, buddy, don't sweat it or what? What do you think he said?
Yeah, don't sweat it. Oh, you don't worry about that. I'm not going to sweat it at all. I can't.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sweat it at all.
Oh, God. And it's like, how do you go somewhere – to tell somebody you don't want to see them anymore and then tail around for 4 days. I mean, who does that? Like, if I don't want to see you, you're done. You get a kiss off, you get a text. You don't even get a phone call. If he goes and he hangs there for 4 days.
Well, the quote's talking about he thought he did the honorable thing. The honorable thing?
Would have been
you go hang out for 4 days, or maybe just got over the jet lag, and then he really only talked to him for a few minutes when he was fully over the jet lag.
Yeah. Well, again, there's this woman out there that's come forward and said that this happened to her with Prince Andrew several times. I'm not saying it did. I'm not saying it didn't. I wasn't there. But my point is, okay, I'm glad he's honorable, but where was his honor when he was banging a child?
Right.
I'm just saying. I mean, is there an honor code that when you say for honor, it gives you like a list of things that are considered honorable, and if it's not in that category, then just don't worry about it. It's fine. You know,
well, I don't think anybody's going to be allowing Prince Andrew on TV with interviews anymore. I think he's probably figured out that was not a good idea.
No, but would you not think they've got all these, you know, secretaries that deal with each one of the royal family? They're told when to burp, when to fart, when to breathe in and out, not to do it unless you're told to breathe in and out. But yet they let them go rogue on camera.
The Washington Post, there
was no Red Bull in the royal house.
The Washington Post had this thing where Charles Proctor, who is editor of the Royal Central website, he said, "I expected a train wreck. That was a plane crashing into an oil tanker, causing a tsunami, triggering a nuclear explosion level bad." I mean, I don't really, other than just coming out and say, "Oh yeah, I he's been a pedophile friend of mine for years." Other than saying something like that, you couldn't have written it any funnier.
Well, you know, I wonder if all the billionaires are now acquiring pedophile friends. Is that like a new thing, like when they had the little dogs that they rode in the purses?
You mean
like, is that a thing now? I'm a billionaire. I want a pedophile friend. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm just wondering.
Well, it could be the next LGBTQ.
I mean, you know. So it was that thing, if they're a billionaire, they had Mercedes Benz or Jaguars, or now it's all they're going to have pedophile friends. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah, it's a fad. It's a fad. Absolutely.
It is. But this is why they all get away with it, because they're all paling around with the billionaires. And let's face it, money talks, and then they get to walk.
I think this perfectly demonstrates, if you have a lot of money, you can hire very good attorneys, and you have privileges that everybody else doesn't seem to have.
And they don't. When you get to these people, and again, I'm not saying all of them, because I don't know all of them. Heck, I don't even know any people that have money, let alone a billionaire. But the thing of it is they put themselves on this level where they really think they can do anything. And the lawyers are more than happy to take their money. And even though they know that they've done the crime, they get them off easy anyway. It's really ridiculous.
Unless you go on live TV and you don't know the questions that are going to be asked, and then you have idiotic answers prepared. That's what just blows me away. Hubris of people.
And then be in the royal
wealthy
family, where they monitor everything you do, and they tell you what to say and do. And, you know, I mean, there's laws for everything. They're all the regulations on what they do. They can't put their hands a certain way. Their legs can't be the certain way. They can't walk a certain way, but by God, they can get out there and have diarrhea of the mouth and say whatever they want.
Well, I think in this instance, the emperor was shown to have no clothes, and I certainly don't think
and
he helped.
And that was frightening in itself. Let me know.
Yeah.
Thank God he wasn't.
Yeah, but he
sweating.
Wasn't threatening.
He would have been shiny. We would have had to look at a naked, shiny Andrew, and I just don't think I can recover from that. And I certainly can't afford the therapy bill. I mean, good Lord.
I think in our analysis, we figured out that the media, the ABC,
the royal family must think the world is just full of idiots waiting to be spoon-fed idiotic information.
Well, that's, and I think really that's so true. And even with our government, the things that they, and this goes beyond the topic we're talking about tonight, but they give us this line of crap. And everybody's just supposed to eat it up, smile sweetly, nod our heads, and say, okay, I'll believe you. And that just, I mean, this is something that has been a problem for me my entire life because I don't buy it. And some of the areas of research I'm in, obviously, the government isn't happy about, and they tell people all kinds of crap. And it's just, it's never ending. And it doesn't matter if it's our country or another country. This is global. Like, idiocy runs rampant. You know?
Yes.
It isn't just to our country. But it's really, it's like, you know, everybody's sheep. They're going to tell you whatever load of crap, and really 90% of it doesn't even make sense, but they're going to tell it to you. But by God, that's the law. You will believe it.
Well, I think most governments like to manage the truth. And sometimes in the management of truth, it doesn't become truth anymore.
Exactly. I agree completely. But they don't want us to know the truth. And I think that's a big part of it. And I think that's a big part of even with the Jeffrey Epstein thing. They don't want us to know the truth.
They spin everything to fit their agenda. They have the agenda.
Exactly.
They spin everything.
The truth is lost. The truth is just gone in the government system. It's what's going to work for the powers that be. And it doesn't matter what the political preference is. I don't care if it's Democrat, Republican, or kangaroo. It's the same basic principle. They want us to believe what's going to work for them and make their little world complete. And they don't care if they're blowing up our world.
Yeah, news today has become so spun and politically oriented. I start to read an article, and then I realize it's conjecture. Now, frankly, we've done a fair amount of conjecture tonight, but the conjecture we've done is asking how stupid do these people really
exactly.
think the world is? That's
right.
The conjecture.
Right.
That's the bottom line. But for the conjecture, you see the same story spun one direction for one political party, another direction for another political party, and you don't even know if they're using factual information to begin with. So, you know, until somebody's convicted and tried, or tried and convicted, I guess, would be the proper way. But unless that happens, where there's a process and people really do get due process, you can't believe anything you read today because it's going to – I mean, look at the recent examples of where the media's run away with a story that's just been completely false, and they end up in court trying to defend what they said against slander and libel suits. So, you know, that happens. But I don't know if it's the race for the 24-hour news cycles where you've got to be the first to break a news story. But if that's the case, then what happened to ABC racing to break a news story? Nah, The fix was in.
They can't break the news on your print. See, that's the thing. You know, if you're part of the billionaire club, you can't be part of that part of the news. I mean, but you can't. They can't expose you for the spine ball that you really are, that have a position because you're in Epstein's little black book, and he's pimping out underage girls to you because people would lose faith in you. They would lose faith in your ability to govern and your ability to lead if they really expose you for what you were or expose them.
But I want to really know the tide that Epstein had with that newspaper, of course, because, you know, and we talked about this earlier in the show, that's a top, you know, story right now. The money that they're losing from not reporting is astronomical. So it's got to be a major pull there. There's got to be a massive connection that they are terrified of because the name of the game is money.
Well, exactly. Follow the money, but don't six corporations own most of the media outlets in the world? Is that the number? There you go. I mean, you got somebody that's connected very heavily about one or all of those six corporations, and you know they're going to control what comes out. They're going to it's a script, you know. Everything's scripted. The days of real journalism are over with.
Well,
oh, yeah.
the number of independent media sources has dropped dramatically, and it continues to drop dramatically. Print journalism is going down the tubes, and if all your information is controlled by corporations, you're going to get a corporate spin on it. But by the
Absolutely.
Same token, if you have the we have the internet, which is basically the people's press, but you got so many whack jobs out there, you can't tell if they're telling the truth or not, which is where a lot of fake news can come from both ends of that spectrum, both from supposedly legitimate news sources, and it can come from people who just make stuff up for whatever reason. It's difficult. It's difficult to figure out truth.
You know, it's really funny you talk about making up things. I get a I guess I'm going to say something that's probably not popular. I am basically pro-Trump, but I'm a member of the Democratic Party. And I get all these emails. And I get these emails that say things like, you wouldn't believe, but Trump is down to 32% approval rating. And so I take that, and then I go try to find that, and I can't find it. It's like, you thought, not only do we have fake news, but we have fake participatory we're going to tell you a lie, and people will believe it.
Yep.
I hope I won't get in trouble, but it's the truth. But, I mean, frankly, it's like, what do we do? Because everybody is lying. Am I correct?
Exactly.
I think I am. Thank you, Robin. I'm glad you agree with me.
Well,
they do.
You know,
because they do. And, John, you know some of the stuff that's gone on with me, and it is. It's like the truth doesn't matter in our world today, because it's not allowed to matter, because there's so much misinformation and blatant intentional lies out there that when the truth does come out, nobody believes it anyway.
Right.
Because
so we may as well lie.
Always to the right side of the left side are part of the same body, and they are controlled by the corporation, by the money. That's where the true power lies. Who has the money and what is their intent?
It's just ridiculous.
And I'm starting to laugh because when you look at the Iowa polls, Pete Buttigieg is getting ready to win. He's getting ready to win in Iowa, and he may very well win in New Hampshire. And what are the Democrats going to do to try to fight Donald Trump with Pete Buttigieg? What on earth is going to happen? And I know this doesn't have anything to do with Jeffrey Epstein, but maybe it does. It's like, when you look at the... Is that you laughing? Trey, are you laughing at me? You laughing at me?
Yeah.
I'm glad maybe. It's like, what do we do? What is going to happen to this world when the wrong candidate is going to win the early caucuses? And
well, you know, that might be a good reason to support Mrs. Warren, because
oh my God.
If she has her way, there won't be any billionaires anymore. So this billionaire client, they won't be any of those. So maybe they'll have a couple of million left over. It's hard to say.
So that's really why they got
I'm voting for Mickey Mouse. He didn't do well at the jail, so I'm hopeful.
I'm sorry. Do we all remember Flip Wilson? The devil made me say that thing. It's
absolutely.
But it's like, what in the heck is going on here? You know, and Mayor Pete is going to win Iowa, and he's going to. And this is not what the party wants. So they're going to have a second round of whatever Michelle Obama and Hillary Clinton. And what is going on here? We have a crazy.
Well, they've winnowed the field down to at like 10. So I want to know when are they going to get down to like a couple of serious people? But I guess that's what the voters will have to decide.
They got to find serious people first.
Well, you know, but would you want to be president? Would anyone in their right mind really want to be president? I don't think
no.
so. So that narrows the field down significantly right there. That's
because,
crazy.
Because Trey, before January the 20th, someone's going to say, well, we're going to impeach. That's what they're going to say.
Yeah,
before
oh, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely.
Well, I'll tell you what, as we end up in the ending hours of Murder 123, it has been a blast. We've talked about one of the most possible murder events in history. It's just the most amazing thing. And we want to thank our guest, Dr. Trey Donnelly, for being here. We want to thank our
yes,
host.
Trey, you got to come
co-host.
Back. You are awesome.
Absolutely.
Oh, Trey, I enjoyed it.
We'll come back and talk to us about some other things.
Yeah, but I'm going to go buy some stock in Red Bull right away. So just don't make it right away.
Yes, and Trey,
I'm
be sure to ditch the stock in
I'm
the yield room because no stock
yeah,
can be needed.
Yeah, I'm gonna put in a call to my broker, and I'm gonna buy some Red Bull stock.
Yeah, and remember the new
bad
tagline,
idea.
Red Bull. Red Bull's new tagline is "We won't leave you hanging," but I know it's a horrible joke. But we're right for it.
Oh my God.
Oh, I like it, but I wouldn't sweat it.
Well. All I got to say is we're glad you were here with us, Trey. And as we do at
thank
the end
John.
Of the evening.
Thank you, Dr. John. It was a lot
no,
of fun.
No, and don't everybody leave because what we do is we do plugs. We plug something that we believe in or something that's coming up. So we'll start ladies first. We'll go with Robin. Then we'll go with Tony. And then we'll go with Trey. And then I'll close it up. So first of all, Robin,
all right,
what do you have to plug coming
I'm,
up?
Well, I'm going to plug the International Commonality of the Forest People because we are really moving forward with this. Thanks to Jen. We love him for it. And we're getting a lot of great info out there, helping a lot of people so that they know how to react and how to deal with the Bigfoots around them and try to get things a little bit more peaceful because it's just a matter of miscommunication between them and us. And thanks to Jen, we're able to promote this through his conferences, and it's just been a huge help.
You are certainly welcome, and it's a pleasure to work with the Institute of Hominology, and you know, great things are going to happen. So thank you. Tony, what have you got to plug? What have you got coming up?
Well, I'm working on the Manzo Shepherd story, Murder and Mayhem in Harlan County. That'll be out in the spring. And as always, we would like for people to go to Amazon Prime to check out our series there. Crypto Crew presents. So we have a lot of interesting things. And Thomas also has a couple of books coming out in early mid 2020. And we also have a very, very in depth Bigfoot documentary coming out in spring, summer 2020 called Bigfoot the Legend Real.
Wonderful.
Well, that sounds great. Well, everybody should check that out, and that's wonderful. Trey, what do you have to – do you have something to plug? You always have interesting projects that you're working on.
Yeah, I would like to plug the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And I just hope that our government follows them. We were given a clear set of rules about how to keep a country great, and I just hope we continue to follow them and use the wisdom that's been going on for 200 years in our country and get it back on track in some places.
I love that. That's great.
I agree.
I agree.
Thank you so much. That is really great, Trey. And just having you on our show has been an inspiration. It's really been a privilege to have you here. And I guess what I'll plug is, of course, the Somerville Comic-Con on December 7th and the Krampus Festival on December 6th. And we got a lot of great things happening. So on behalf of everyone for 123, we want to thank Dr. Trey Donaway for being here with us. We've had a great time. We want to have you back. And thank you so much. So we'll say, with only 5 minutes left in our 90-minute segment, have a great week. Thank you.
Take care, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Au revoir.